The common theme throughout marriage has always been the concept of a prenuptial agreement. However, now there are such legal mechanisms as postnuptial agreements. What are they? Do you need one? What are the factors that bring them into that marriage equation? Joining us to discuss this is family lawyer, legal strategist, and best-selling author of many books, including War or Peace, Avoid the Destruction of Divorce Court, Joran Jenkins. Joran, thanks so much for being here.
Happy to be here.
These are, I guess, referred to as mid-marriage contracts. What are some of the reasons?
Oh, my. Oh, you know, it's funny you say that because I had a couple come see me. They've been in litigation for a year and 3 months. And one of them looked at the other at some point and said, maybe we could fix this. And so they came to me. They both have lawyers. They came to me and said, we were thinking about a postnuptial agreement. And they explained their situation. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, I thought I'd seen everything. But guess what? No, you haven't. It's truly amazing how it seems to be an up and coming topic. Word is getting out. You know, it's all about word getting out. I remember in the old days when there was no such thing as a designated driver, and word got out, and all of a sudden everybody knew what a designated driver was, and everybody was thinking, okay, I need to make sure that I take care of that tonight after the party.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm seeing more and more people who want to talk to me about postnuptial agreements when 10 years ago nobody even knew what the term meant.
Right. So that I'm clear with that illustration you just gave, this couple was already headed towards divorce, and then they decided, you know what, we can settle this if we just agree while we're still married to what it is each side gets when we do split.
They were not just headed towards divorce. They had had so much divorce court that they had spent $80,000 between the two of them, and one of them had already fired his first attorney. Because of the way the attorney was handling the case, Pitbull style.
Right.
That's to quote him, and I know the attorney, so I know he was. And the interesting thing, now that I'm thinking about it, both of these young people are lawyers.
Yeah, of course.
Don't do divorce work. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I guess the question I should ask is the post-nup more amicable than divorce court? It seems like you're basically dealing with the same issues. Who gets what?
Well, not so much. Interesting question, and it never occurred that you would ask that question. It's a great question. You're not so much dealing necessarily with distribution issues or alimony issues or the things that you might be talking about in a prenup. You're talking about, okay, my guy committed adultery. I've forgiven him. We've been to marriage counseling. But I want to put bumpers on our marriage at this point. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? She said, well, we've talked about it, and we've both agreed that if we get divorced, if we end up getting divorced because of another issue of adultery, then the person who committed adultery will pay the person who did not commit adultery an extra $200,000. In other words, they built a penalty into their post-nup agreement, which I've never heard of, would have occurred to me. Now, maybe I am that brilliant and it might have occurred to me, but, but wow. And they were both sitting there next to each other, smiling, you know, telling me what the terms were. In fact, I made it sound like it was the guy who committed the adultery. They never told me who had committed the adultery. They were very obvious in not telling me who had committed or who might commit in the future. They'd both been married before. They both had children from separate marriages. They seemed a very happy couple. You know how that is. I mean, we all the time see people who look wonderful on the outside, and then we find out they're divorced. They just got divorced.
Right.
They went through a horrifying divorce. But, you know, we keep that stuff hidden because, you know, who the heck wants to air our dirty laundry?
Right.
So they built a, you know, in fact, so in this, I just finished this post-nup last week. They split the assets 50-50. They carved out some assets that were special to them. But then there was this penalty that got paid out of the adulterer's 50% of the assets. If it happens because of adultery. If it doesn't happen because of adultery, the issue never comes up. But so that's an example.
I appreciate that illustration. What kind of factors would be off limits in a post-nup?
Nothing. I tell my clients all the time, number one, and I'm famous for this, the law is your last resort. I know I'm a lawyer, but I'm a counselor first. I want to talk about what's good for your family. And as long as it's not illegal, the law should be your last resort. If you two agree that this is how you want to do things, no judge is going to tell you you can't do it that way unless you're being abusive to your children or, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The one exception to that rule is that child support belongs to the child, and so the judges will look at your child support numbers. They want them to be in the statutory. In Florida, there's a statute, and I think in every state, there's a statute that regulates the amount of child support, depending on your income and the number of overnights that the child spends on at your house. And that number is pretty protected by the judges. Everything else, as long as you're not agreeing to do something that's illegal, it's fair game.
When did these agreements start to become relevant? You said you threw out that 10 years ago no one knew what they were, but that...
It's been, I'd say, in the last... I mean, I've seen just... it's been a tidal wave in the last year. So when I say a tidal wave, you know, we have little waves all along, right? And then
right.
All of a sudden you have this big, massive wave. That's what it's been. I've seen post-nups every once in a blue moon. We do a prenup now and again. I did a legal mal over a prenup that was worth $44 million. The prenup had been done poorly, executed poorly, and it was supposed to award the wife $1 million. And instead, because it was done so poorly, she got it set aside and she made off with $44 million instead. So I had to go after the lawyer who drafted it. That was sad. So the prenups have been around all along, and you see the occasional postnup, but not very often. I had a couple come in, husband and wife, together 17 years. They had 8 cats, no children, 8 white cats. They rescued cats. And I thought to myself, I'm a dog person. I thought to myself, well, okay, this is how one of them's going to get rid of the cats. And sure enough, the mom was supposed to take all the cats, and she was very happy about that. But then dad started showing me the photos on his cell phone of these gorgeous, gorgeous cats that were all rescues. And he told me the story the week before he'd flown to Idaho to pick up a stray white cat. So evidently, the cats were not the issue. The issue was they'd been married for 17 years. She put him through medical school, and she was making significant money, but he was making significantly more. He wanted an agreement that said that he would pay her enough to equalize their incomes as long as they were married. So if they're married, say, for another 5 years, they've been married 17 years, they're married for another 5, he's going to pay her alimony for 22 years to equalize their incomes, unless they become equal, at which point his alimony will stop.
Interesting.
Judge would never do that. Judge would never do it that way. It's, you know, it's amazing. It's the things that people come up with, they're ingenious. It's
right.
So much. It's so creative. It's so wonderful. I love doing this. My assistant and I sat at a closing last week with the adultery couple, and we were executing the documents and exchanging the $10 consideration in hand paid, you know, that legal language. And the couple was thanking us, and their compliment was that we heard them. We heard what they wanted from us, and we listened to them. And that was a huge compliment. Megan looked at them, and she goes, "We like doing this so much more than doing the divorces."
Yeah, without question. It gives couples a chance to craft their own language,
right.
their
right.
own compensation, really, should things go afoul.
Yeah.
Do you anticipate this couple will remain happily ever after?
I don't know. Mm. I think it's possible. I couldn't tell enough from our meetings and our correspondence. We corresponded by email. I couldn't tell enough, but I saw a lot of love and affection there. So I think this was one of those, something happened on a business trip or, you know, an affair of the heart at the office that lasted for 3 months or something like that. But they have a deep-seated friendship, and they don't want to lose that, and they don't want to lose their relationship. So I suspect that they will do well. I suspect that this was just one way of protecting that relationship.
I'm speaking with Joran Jenkins. She's a trial attorney with 38 years of courtroom experience, now in private practice in Tampa, Florida. Family lawyer, legal strategist, and best-selling author of many books, including War or Peace, Avoid the Destruction of Divorce Court. Final question, Jorn. Since this post-nup phenomenon is relatively new, and you yourself admitted that couples are coming up with new and inventive ways to settle things, should they have to down the line, I would anticipate that post-nups will continue to evolve. And that stands to reason as life circumstances change, our status in life changes. Is the post-nup going to be sort of like the marital last will and testament, where you update your last will as things in life change? The same would apply here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let there be no question. I mean, when I talk to these young people, well, not all young people, actually, when I talk to these folks, I tell them, you know, stick this in a safe place. You each have your own copy. But keep in mind, 5 years from now, you may want to take a look at it and update it because times change, people change. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we offer a service here called collaborative life planning for when you're suddenly empty nested or one of you retires or dad needs to come live with you because he's become infirm. And so, you know, these extraordinary circumstances that everyday people have to deal with but are not prepared for. And so we sit and we talk about, well, what's the agreement going to look like? Who's going to pay dad's bills? Where's that money going to come from? Who's going to change his bedpan? You know, who's going to do that? And if you're going to employ someone, how are you going to pay for that? We talk about the legalities. We talk about the finances. And we talk about the mental health issues, that the stress to the relationship that having another adult in the house will cause. You know, adult child boomerangs home. Then you've So we've got all of these life events that are so stressful that cause divorce. And what I'm trying to do is prevent that divorce from happening by meeting that issue head on and planning for it ahead of time.
Well, it certainly sounds like you run a thoughtful practice, and I appreciate you giving us several minutes today to discuss this very important topic, post-nup phenomenon. Attorney Jorn Jenkins has been our guest. Thanks so much, Jorn.
My pleasure. Thank you.